This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Melissa Block. Ted Leo might croon in a sweet falsetto, then moments later shout out in defiance. Ted Leo's songs often have a sharp political edge, lately an anti-war message. His new CD is called Living with the Living. Ted Leo is from New Jersey, started playing in what he calls aggressive hardcore bands, then swerved into more poppy punk. Now at age 36, he mixes it all up however he wants. And for creative spark, he draws on a wide range of influences.
More often than not, if I'm ever stuck, you know, for anything, whether it's just a chord change or a vocal melody or something, I have learned about what the kind of wells that I continually go back to for inspiration are. And those are, you know, mostly 60s kind of R&B, like the Impressions and Curtis Mayfield, and 70s kind of reggae vocal groups like the Heptones and the Mighty Diamonds, and Celtic folk melodies and things. It kind of always winds up somehow coming back to being grounded in something from those three.
That's a pretty broad swath right
it
there.
It is. I know.
You
can
do a lot with that.
9 years down the road and I remember it still. Standing on a corner back in Gotham Hill. 9 days out from home. Feeling no pain. A northern city sun breaking through the rain. That warmthless sun barely shining on.
In the past, I've really tried to cram all of that into every song that I've written, and sometimes I think that in the past they've been a little overwrought even at times because of that. So I'm trying to kind of let things be a little bit as they are at this point, instead of always kind of, you know, having to punk up the reggae or something like that, you know, just kind of leave it alone.
Well, I knew by the dew in your starry eyes was the day we both had studied for all of our lives. Whether bold missionaries or children's crusade, no fear, pioneers, we were on our way. And we never were nothing that could get in our way.
Oh! Is that a tin whistle we hear in there?
It is, yeah. I don't play it well, but...
Oh, that's you.
Yeah, it's me. Yeah. It took me many takes to get that one.
How'd you learn how to do that?
I just picked it up a number of years ago. Kind of the way that I did with guitar. I just, you know, took to guitar a little more quickly and with a little more accuracy than than I have with the tin whistle.
And it just felt like, boy, this is a song that just cries out for tin whistle in there.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I think so. You know, sometimes... that could have been, I suppose, that particular, you know, I guess what would be like the bridge of the song or whatever, like that melody could have been done on a number of things. But this is what I was saying. It's like, you know, why not just let it be tin whistle? I mean, that's what it really wants to be. So why not just do it, you know?
And you wouldn't want to throw that in just any song, I suppose.
Absolutely. Yeah. It wouldn't exactly fit in another song. So.
You've been known for a while now as being a topical political songwriter with a number of anti-war songs. Mm-hmm. Are there folks, songwriters, musicians that you admire whom you think, you know, I'm following in that tradition? That's something I want to be a part of?
Yes. I mean, definitely, in the sense that I certainly have taken inspiration from a number of people, and I certainly want to live up to... you know, what I see as kind of their legacy. But in terms of me actually following in the footsteps of, I don't really think I have the perspective to say that kind of thing, but there are, you know, a couple of kind of the big three English, you know, punky people that I certainly draw from, those being Joe Strummer, Paul Weller, and Billy Bragg, as well as a lot of the American examples that I grew up with from the punk and hardcore scenes, like Dee Boone from the Minutemen, or... Ian MacKaye from Fugazi, as well as, you know, more mainstream people, even like Bruce Springsteen, or going back to older folky people like Phil Oakes or something.
I suppose the flip side of that would be, have you heard songs or songwriters who are doing things that you think, boy, it's just too much, it's too much of a sledgehammer, I'm trying to do something more subtle?
I have never felt that something I've heard from someone else has been too much. I sometimes worry that what I do is not enough, you know, in that regard. I mean, but I do kind of purposely rein it in sometimes. I mean, I think that there is there's a great value to that kind of didactic punk, you know, protest song that exists. And I certainly often find myself going back and listening to that stuff when I do need to get reinvigorated by something or just for, you know, a little bit of inspiration in any way. But ultimately, I think that the music that kind of sticks with me on a deeper level and for more of the long haul of my life thus far is the music that does kind of treat things a little more subtly, a little more broadly, and gets a little more at the kind of human stories behind the policy decisions that one might have in mind when one is writing a song, if that makes any sense.
I think so. I want to be sure I understand something. You were saying you were that your songs don't go far enough and that maybe sometimes you rein yourself in.
Well, I was, you know, being a little facetious with that, but I what I mean is that I greatly actually admire people with the kind of courage and the like fire to get out there and write these kind of like in your face anthemic, you know, good bad kind of division songs. And sometimes I feel like I should maybe be doing a little bit more of that myself, like actually really specifically, you know, commenting on things. But at the end of the day, while I do need to go back to that stuff time and time again, more often than not, what I go back to is the more subtle stuff. Things like Curtis Mayfield's first solo record, which is, you know, political and political throughout, but it's just beautiful and human, you know, and that's kind of ultimately what I would like to achieve, I guess, with my own songs.
You were talking earlier about songs that maybe use people to illustrate policies. Would a song like Army Bound be an example of that? That to me seems to be about somebody who's has very few choices in his life or her life, maybe.
Somebody's dreams, they just don't pay out. Somebody's means don't leave much way.
This is also my, I guess, like third album of this, you know, particular political climate that we find ourselves in, and so I don't really see much point at this point in simply, you know, saying, "Hey, guess what? I think war is bad." You know, like there are many deeper dimensions to so many things that are going on right now, and you know, treating an issue like army recruitment and the economics that often force people into positions of little choice, as you put it, as a policy issue, is not something that I even feel comfortable doing. The way that it affects me as a human being is as it affects other people as human beings, those who are forced to make those choices. And so that's kind of the angle that I would try and take on writing a song.
Is it hard to keep the anti-war message that you had in your last album, too? Is it hard to find a way to keep that fresh, to keep it interesting for yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, probably the biggest reason is less about actually you know, having to continually write songs about the same thing than it is about being continually on the road playing those songs. And I really have to believe what I'm putting over if I'm going to put it over in a believable way every night. And and it can certainly be physically exhausting, but it can also be kind of ideologically exhausting. And when the time comes to start writing new songs, certainly I often have found myself at a bit of a loss to find something new to say, frankly, which is depressing.
There's one very in-your-face song on the new CD called Bomb, Repeat, Bomb, and it starts with what sounds like a spoken word archive recording. I'm not sure what it is.
President Michael Howard said that America should topple the Albanese government. Secretly.
Like a great bird in a blue sky over a blue ocean, civilized men fly!
Bomb, repeat, bomb, repeat!
It's meant to sound like a spoken word archive recording, but it is actually a friend of mine speaking those words. But Bomb, Repeat, Bomb is actually specifically about Operation PB Success and the kind of CIA-fomented coup in Guatemala in 1954. And this is an example of, you know, kind of needing to get at a subject from a different angle. I didn't want that song to be so explicitly tied in with the current situation in Iraq because that's not how I wrote it. So having that little lead-in, I felt, you know, was a little bit of a clue as to something else that I was getting at, which is the fact that many of the things that we're dealing with are not new and that there are much deeper questions that need to be asked about the way we interact with the rest of the world.
Hmm. It's interesting because that song segues right into a song with a very different sound, a very different feel called La Costa Brava. And that line, everyone needs a Sunday some days. It's like you're taking a deep breath. Okay, enough of all that political stuff.
Seeing the same old things, and I've been hearing you saying some things that you don't mean. Everyone needs a Sunday, some days. Everyone needs to take some time away.
One thing that I had to kind of allow myself at a certain point was to come to terms with the fact that if you don't want to burn out, you know, you must give yourself a Sunday, some days, you know, as the line goes. And we can sometimes get so caught up in the fights that we're all fighting from time to time that it really would behoove all of us to take a step back, take a breath, and understand what it is about the beauty of the world that actually makes us want to continue these fights.
Down by the beach, there's a small cafe where playing off of you.
Do you have one guitar that you're especially attached to?
I do, actually. Well, I have a couple that I'm especially attached to, actually. I have an old early 80s Epiphone Sheraton that I played for years and years and years and just about a year ago finally hung up because it was falling apart and upgraded to the more executive model of that guitar, the Gibson 335, which is my baby.
And is that what we hear on the CD?
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just that one guitar, actually. I never swapped out guitars the entire record.
Does it start to feel like an extension of your voice?
You know, yeah, I think it does. It definitely feels like an extension of my my torso at times, you know, and we get to the point pretty quickly in any tour when the actual singing takes a lot more effort on my part than the playing of guitar, which kind of becomes muscle memory, you know, for me.
The singing takes more effort, you're saying?
I tend to push my range most of the time, but it requires more of a kind of, you know, it has to come from the gut.
Alone, I've got to sing just to exist. Not to resist.
It's interesting to hear you say that about your voice because I've read that you have had some trouble with your vocal cords in the past, and I saw on your website you actually have photographs of your vocal cords. So clearly there's something going on here.
Well, I had to cancel an entire tour a couple of years ago, just a few dates into it, because I had like completely blown out my larynx. And I just felt that I owed it to whoever may have been disappointed to give them some proof of that fact.
the visual testimony of here's what I've done. Well, what do you do about that to get better?
Not nearly as much as I should, to be honest with you. At that point in time, it was prescribed that I be silent for about a month. But touring the way that we do, and this is by no means a woe is me complaint, but it's still like a lot of people crammed into one van. There's not always a dressing room. So, doing the kind of stretching and vocal warm-up that I probably should be doing most of the time is really logistically a problem.
Your doctor is listening to this right now saying, Ted, have you learned nothing?
Well, sorry, doc.
Well, Ted Leo, thanks so much.
No, you're welcome. Thank you.